Welcome to the B Podcast. I'm MJ here with BD.
Hello.
And this is our summer moves coverage of the NBA, covering some of the big acquisitions as well as some of the big draft moves. We're just going to go through some of the highlights so we don't drag on going through every single move. But obviously, a big, big offseason for the NBA definitely shifted the power to certain teams, which we'll get into. And BD will go ahead and lead us off on that.
Sure. Well, we thought we'd start with the East, since that one, I think, was a little bit going to be less exciting, as usual, than the West. I think it's going to be, again, probably a two-team or three teams at best that'll be challenged for the title, and most likely it'll be the Cavs. So I guess wanted to talk about them and some of the off-season moves they made, and obviously being able to sign Kevin Love to a 5-year contract.
Yep.
Kyrie Irving hopefully will recover from his injury and come back maybe in December or January at the latest. Then, of course, you have LeBron James. And I think they were able to keep a lot of the same guys from last season, which is good because we felt like they played really well in the finals. And then, obviously, getting Mo Williams is good. And Richard Jefferson, that's going to be a good acquisition for them because you have a smart veteran player who's, I still think he can play really well. As of now, obviously, since the season hasn't started, the only other team that will give them any kind of challenge will be Chicago. And then we'll see how Miami does with, you know, Chris Bosh hopefully being back, and they have a healthy team. That might not be a bad team. I don't think they'll be able to beat Cleveland in the playoffs if they play each other, but definitely think it's between Cleveland and Chicago.
Yeah, the Miami Heat, they'll gain Chris Bosh back, which is great. They're actually going to lose Goran Dragic, Goran something, and Danny Granger. So I think those are not necessarily... I sort of think it's a lateral movement. You're gaining Chris Bosh, but you're losing other players. Chicago Bulls is their main competition. But as a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, this was just a really exciting offseason. Definitely an A-plus offseason. This team had tons of talent. They had a lot to lose. Fortunately, they're going to lose very little. They might lose J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson. Not a huge deal, though, because you're gaining back Anderson Varejao, who was a former starter who will probably come off the bench for Timofey Mozgov. You know, you lose J.R. Smith, but you're gaining Mo Williams and Richard Jefferson. Mo Williams is a great player. Richard Jefferson is a former All-Star who played great for the Mavs last year. You know, it's really been a home run for the Cleveland Cavaliers just to keep what they had. LeBron James was technically a free agent, but he wasn't going to leave. Basically, he was just waiting to sign so they could figure out money-wise how to sign other players. So that's why he didn't sign right away. But it was a home run. You know, they got Kevin Love back. That was one of the big conversations during the season. People thought, you know, he's unhappy, he's going to leave. Obviously, you're gaining Kyrie Irving back from injury at some point during the season. So basically, you're getting almost your entire rotation back from last year, which made it to the NBA Finals with a healthy Kevin Love and a Kyrie Irving. And you're adding even more scoring in Mo Williams and Richard Jefferson. They're going to lose Mike Miller and Brendan Haywood, but those weren't huge blows because they didn't really play much for them. But basically, you know, summarizing the Cavaliers offseason, they kept the core of the previous team and even gained some talent, which was extremely impressive to me. And the fan favorite, Matthew Dellavedova, will be back as well. So, you know, I really don't see any reason why this team won't be in the NBA Finals again. They're going to be better than last year, provided nobody, you know, gets injured. Just a huge offseason for the Cavaliers. If you're a Cavs fan, you got to be happy. So, go Cavs, baby.
I think they're definitely the favorites to win in the East again. I'll probably be rooting for them. I would like to see Cleveland win championship. I just don't know. Do you think that they're going to be good enough, though, to compete with some of these teams in the West? The West is just amazing.
The Cavaliers have a window to win a championship. There's no question about it. I do foresee a championship in their future. Do I think it's going to be this season? Unfortunately, no. We'll get into the details as to why when we talk about the teams in the West. But there's just some teams in the West that made key acquisitions, which in my opinion, again, provided the players stay healthy, put them over the top. I see the Cavaliers being back in the finals, especially, in my opinion, there's going to be some key players we're going to talk about in the West that will retire in a year or two. When those players retire, it'll actually make it, you know, easier for the Cavs to win a title. So I think probably, not this year, but next year, the Cavaliers will win a title.
Well, I guess let's get started with the West. We can start with the Mavericks and the Rockets, since they were kind of, you know, there were a lot of teams that were kind of winners and losers, and I think those teams kind of got a little bit, maybe a little bit weaker overall. It was a good pickup for Mavs to get Deron Williams.
Yeah.
I think he'll definitely help them, but, you know, losing Tyson Chandler and Monta Ellis. I guess Monta Ellis, you kind of get some of that, gets replaced with Deron Williams, but
yeah,
it's going to be tough to overcome Tyson Chandler, especially if you're, you know, if you're playing like the Clippers or the Spurs, where, you know, now the Spurs have LaMarcus Aldridge, and we'll talk about that shortly, but, you know, having a good, you know, defensive guy like that on your team would have definitely helped them, and now that he's not there, because they couldn't get DeAndre Jordan, changed his mind.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely going to make them overall a little bit weaker.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. Looking at the Dallas Mavericks, they gained Deron Williams. It's sort of tit for tat, though, because they're losing Monta Ellis. Both great players. On paper, Deron Williams is the better player. I think he'll do better, but Monta Ellis really did well in that system, so hopefully that continues with Deron Williams. They lost Tyson Chandler, which is a huge blow. He doesn't necessarily always have the best stats, but he's a blue-collar guy. He's a defensive-minded player. He always helps a great team. So that's unfortunate. They lost him because they were going after DeAndre Jordan. And, of course, if you've watched the offseason debacle, at one point DeAndre Jordan was a Mav, and then he changed his mind. So the Mavs thought that DeAndre Jordan was going to be a Mav, and that didn't turn out okay. So, obviously, losing Tyson Chandler is not going to help them. Rajon Rondo is not a huge blow. I actually felt when he left the team during the playoffs, they played better. Amari Stoudemire didn't really get a fair shot. He came to the team halfway through the season. I think that if he had a fresh start in Dallas, he could have contributed significantly. But he decided to move east to the Miami Heat in the offseason. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Dallas Mavericks. It's always unfortunate when you have a player like Dirk Nowitzki, who has a limited time left in the NBA. And obviously, you know, this is not a title contending team he's on. And then the last thing I'll say is that a few years ago, Mark Cuban opted to let key pieces of their 2011 championship team leave, Tyson Chandler and J.J. Barea. I always felt that team, you know, even though they were a championship team, I felt like for the next year they actually needed to add even more to keep up. But, you know, he gambled on the summer free agency and lost. And the Dallas Mavericks have pretty much never been able to recover for that. So, yeah, you know, I just think that it's always a huge gamble to rely on signing a big free agent in the offseason. It obviously didn't pay off for the Mavericks. And while they've had solid teams, they've never really been able to recover, you know, after their 2011 championship.
Right. Yeah, I think obviously the other big team there that's going to make some noise are the Warriors. They are the champs.
Yeah.
And they played really well. They were pretty much unstoppable. So I don't know if they needed to even do anything to improve. We'll see how they play this upcoming season. But they're still definitely going to be one of the top four teams. But the other team that was a little bit of a loser are the Rockets. They're losing Josh Smith to the Clippers. You know, I think he was important in that series against the Clippers and helping them beat them, which I was still kind of shocked that the Clippers lost that 3-1 lead. And it was pretty amazing how the Rockets were able to come back from that. And Josh Smith was an important piece during that run. And, you know, not having him is definitely going to hurt them. They can't find some way to replace him. or if some other guys don't step up, because he was definitely key in the playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, what do you think about the Rockets? I think they're probably not going to, the way they are right now, without him, I think at best they're a second-round team. I don't see them being able to make it to the Western Conference Finals, not with how good, you know, the Clippers and the Spurs and the Warriors are.
I mean, I agree, BD. Losing Josh Smith was a huge blow to them. He's friends with Dwight Howard, and then he stays in the same conference and jumps ships the Clippers. I don't say I blame him, but he was huge for the Rockets last year in the playoffs. Basically won some games for them, carried the team when they were struggling offensively. So while the Rockets have had a decent offseason, losing Josh Smith is pretty big. You know, and I definitely feel like they got worse, unfortunately for them. So, yeah, I mean, maybe second round, but not too much farther than that.
Right. And then another, obviously, good team that got better was the Spurs. You know, getting David West and, obviously, LaMarcus Aldridge, that was the big piece. He's definitely going to be able to help them. You know, they did lose in the first round. I don't, you know. Now, again, also, we'll talk about the Clippers in a minute. I was going to say, if they played with this team, if they played last year's Clippers, they probably would have beat them. But this year's Clippers also got better, too, so we'll talk about that shortly. But, you know, with Tim Duncan back and Ginobili and Parker, and then also all the other guys, I think this is a good way to give them all one more shot at winning maybe a sixth title. It's not going to be easy to make it out of the West, but they could definitely, with this group, give it one more shot. You know, they did, you know, lost, I think, earlier than a lot of people expected them to, you know, losing in the first round. But it was a close, really good seven-game series. You know, obviously for an older team like that, you know, health will be important. But now that you have LaMarcus Aldridge, I think if Tony Parker or Ginobili aren't playing as well or need more time off, he can help give them a few extra days or week or so to rest, because he can take over a lot of those games like he has in Portland. So I think they've improved a lot. And then obviously having David West, I don't know if he's going to start or come off the bench, but having him come off the bench is going to be pretty big. And they're definitely, I wouldn't say they're my favorites to win, just because of how good, you know, the Warriors are, and we'll talk about the Clippers shortly, but they're definitely in the top three or four.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, with the Warriors, just to touch on them, they've had a great offseason just by keeping the core of their team. So you definitely got to put them in the conversation. For me personally, my personal favorite at this point in time is the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs, they're always a team that's very injury prone more than other team, because a lot of their key players are older players. Not only do they play in the NBA, but players like Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, a lot of times they've played in the national team for their, you know, origin country, France and Argentina. So, you know, they're seeing a lot of miles, but they are my favorite to win. A-plus offseason. LaMarcus Aldridge is huge. One of the things I said during the playoffs was I felt like Tim Duncan got beat up by Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. Two very physical players.
Right.
Tim Duncan is a skill player, and, you know, he's less mobile at this point in his career.
Plus, early in his career, he had to tangle against Shaq a lot.
So that beat him up a lot. Yeah. But I just feel like when Kendrick Perkins played with Kevin Garnett for the Boston Celtics, they would call him, I forget the term, like bodyguard or something like that. But basically, Kendrick Perkins is battling against some of the big guys to alleviate some of the pressure off Kevin Garnett.
Right.
I think this is the exact same situation for the San Antonio Spurs. Kawhi Leonard's coming back, so the core of their team is coming back. I think LaMarcus Aldridge is huge. David West, a lot of people might have forgot about him because the Pacers have sort of fallen off the map. But when the Pacers were struggling in the playoffs, scoring-wise, David West would carry the team. So I really think that the Spurs did a great job of getting players that are going to alleviate pressure off of Tim Duncan, which is going to make him better. Not only that, but looking at the future of this franchise, they're really building a great roster for the future. They've got Kawhi Leonard. They've got LaMarcus Aldridge. Those will be the core of the future for the Spurs. So if you're a Spurs fan, you definitely got to be happy. They've got a long way to go, and obviously injuries are a huge part. Manu Ginobili is probably only going to play one more season. So if they're going to win, this year would be ideal. And that's why they're my pick for this year's champion, provided no major injuries.
Sure. I think that the best team are the Clippers. I know they lost in the second round, but I think how they were able to beat the Spurs, and obviously the Spurs are a lot better now than they were last year, but I think sort of the Clippers, I don't think they've improved quite as well as the Spurs did with, you know, obviously LaMarcus Aldridge is better than any of the players that the Clippers got, but I still think that, you know, getting Josh Smith and Paul Pierce is good, and, you know, the Clippers are one of those franchises where, you know, they have to win it this year or the next, otherwise you have to start breaking it apart, because if you can't win now with what you have, if you can't get past, you know, the Spurs or the Warriors, I don't know what else you can do. I mean, I look at this team and it's an amazing team, and obviously you got to keep DeAndre Jordan. So, and we were talking about this earlier. I mean, having Paul Pierce in those last few minutes is so key, because he's such a great closer and a smart player. And I'm thinking, you know, like, say we have another second or first round matchup, most likely this year would be like maybe a Western Conference Finals. Say it's the Clippers versus the Warriors or the Clippers versus Spurs. And it's close to the end of the game. Having Paul Pierce on the Clippers is going to be pretty important for them, you know, to make those big shots or the right pass or use him as a distraction. So I think, for me personally, my favorites to win it are the Clippers. But obviously, we'll have to see. The Warriors are the champs, and they just played amazing last season. Only losing, what, like 15, 16 games? Something like, I think 15
Really
games.
Good record, yeah.
Yeah, which is one of the better ones in the last few years. The West is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
This year, there are a few teams that are just stacked. So I really feel like I think we both have the same consensus, but there's really four teams that are sort of a head and shoulders above everybody else, and it's the Cavs, the Spurs, the Clippers, and the Warriors on paper.
Right.
But I'm the same way, BD. I leaned toward the Spurs, but the Clippers are deadly as well, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if they got the ring this year.
Any one of those teams you mentioned could you know, easily win it, and you would be fine with picking any one of them.
J.J. Redick said that he gave the Clippers an F for their offseason moves because we all thought DeAndre Jordan was going to be a Mav, and I felt the same way. It didn't matter that they at that point in time they had Lance Stephenson. You lose DeAndre Jordan. You know, what he brings to the table, defense, right. Rebounds, shot blocking, you lose that, you know, your championship run is over.
Right.
They retained him, so that's huge. Then they're gaining Josh Smith. He was huge for the Rockets.
Right.
Carried the team offensively at certain points. Lance Stephenson is a great player.
Right.
He was huge for the Pacers. He sort of has maybe sort of a Dennis Rodman-type persona that certain players didn't like. And the Pacers players didn't want him on the team. But that was a bad move. Sometimes you got to keep players that might be a little bit difficult when they're talented. The Pacers lost him. You know, they got worse from that. Then they lost Roy Hibbert and David West. So even though they're gaining Monte Ellis, you know, they're not a great team anymore.
Right.
Lance Stevenson's going to be huge.
Well, the Lakers had Ron Artest or Meta World Peace.
Yeah.
And they were able to win a championship with him.
And then the Bulls have Dennis Rodman. Sometimes you need that player. He's a little bit reckless, you know?
Right.
Even Russell Westbrook to a certain degree.
Sure.
But yeah, man, I mean, you're gaining Lance Stephenson. He's going to be huge off the bench. If he comes off the bench, Josh Smith is going to be huge. Paul Pierce is clutch. Clippers are a deadly team, just like the Spurs and Cleveland. It's really hard to see them losing. Really, you look at some of these teams, it's going to be an amazing NBA Finals because there's just so much talent, you know. And, I mean, you know, you're a Clippers fan. You got to be happy. They got their new They got their new jersey. They got their new jersey to sort of represent the new era and sort of take away from the negativity that the franchise has had in the past with their previous owner. You know, now all that's really left for the Clippers is to get Kobe on the team. And he stays in L.A., and then I'm happy.
I was just going to say that the Lakers are probably jealous of the squad that the Clippers have for the first time ever.
That's so true.
Right? And we wanted to briefly mention the Lakers, because they definitely improved from last year. You know, hopefully Randle will not get injured if he can stay healthy. That's going to be an improvement. You know, D'Angelo Russell, from everything we've kind of heard and read about him, he's supposed to be pretty darn good. You know, getting a Roy Hibbert. So he's definitely not as good as DeAndre Jordan, but, I mean, a few years ago, right, he was an all-star, and he played pretty darn well against Miami, so he's going to be a good defensive player.
Defensive player of the year candidate.
Yeah, so that definitely can't hurt. And then we'll see if Kobe can play the whole year and stay healthy. If that happens, we're definitely, I mean, I think at the best they're a playoff contender. Maybe they can go for like that 7th seed or 6th seed, you know, if they play well. But they're at least a playoff contender. You know, they did, right, since they didn't sign any big names this year, they have a lot of cap space for next year. And yeah, if Kobe does leave, either retire or go to a team like the Clippers or somewhere else, they'll be able to sign 2 free agents. So, obviously they're not what a lot of, you know, Lakers fans maybe wanted to see, but definitely improvement over last year. And we'll see how these two young guys play.
It's a big offseason for the Lakers. A lot of negative news for the Lakers in the past few years. But really, this is a great move for the Lakers. They were obviously a horrible team last year. Part of that was due to injury. Kobe went down.
Yeah, Randle after the second game or first game or something.
Julius Randle went down. They needed those pieces to compete as it was, and then to lose what little talent they had obviously hurt them. Gaining Roy Hibbert is huge. He's a great defensive player, a decent offensive player. Brandon Bass, solid player.
Mm-hmm.
Lou Williams, Sixth Man of the Year winner. He's a great player as well. So this is a better team. It's not a great team, but it's a better team. You know, you got to be happy if you're a Lakers fan for the progress. Interestingly enough, I read that Jim Buss is on the 3-year plan. So basically, the Lakers aren't back to, you know, second round, third round playoffs in the next 2 or 3 years. Jim Buss is out. I think that's fair, you know, because he made decisions, whether for personal reasons or not. And obviously, you know, the biggest mistake he made was not hiring Phil Jackson. But yeah, I think that's fair. And I also think that since they actually hired a good coach in Byron Scott, even though they made him go to like 5 interviews and he's a good coach, they made him basically beg for the job. But he's a good coach. And what I like about him over Mike D'Antoni is Mike D'Antoni played Kobe to death. Kobe needs to play sparingly. Even if you need him to win, you got to take him out of the game because the older players are injury prone.
Right.
Byron Scott's a smart coach, so he'll make the right decisions.
And I think that's one of the things that hurt the Spurs last year and why they lost in the first round, because they got off to a pretty bad start, or they had, you know, some stretches where they didn't, you know, play as well. So they lost a lot of games pretty early on, and then they couldn't rest their guys because, you know, at the end of the season, because they had to play for position.
Yeah.
And not getting to rest them the last few weeks, they were, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why the Clippers were able to beat the Spurs.
I mean,
so it's important to rest those older guys, definitely.
I agree, because with the Spurs, here's the irony of the Spurs is, usually it's their older players that get injured, but last year, their younger players got injured.
Right.
So, you know.
Right, right. So, well, and the other reason we were maybe, you know, talking about the Lakers, obviously they're not, you know, title contenders in the next year or two, but we wanted to talk about the Thunder, because probably they'll be one of the best teams in the West also. I think last year they didn't play as well because you had a lot of injuries to Kevin Durant, who I think a lot of people would say is the second best player after LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, we'll see, you know, at least before his injury. And then Russell Westbrook is also probably in the top 5, top 10 best players in the NBA today. So if those two guys are healthy, you know, that team will definitely, you know, make a run at it. But I feel like, you know, if they can't get it done this year with what they have, or at least if they lose pretty early on, I don't know how they'll be able to compete with some of these more stacked teams. And a lot of people are thinking maybe one of them might go to the Lakers. I don't know.
Yeah, exciting year for the Thunder. Obviously, they're a team that people sort of forgot because Kevin Durant was injured. I really think that what happened to Russell Westbrook is the same thing that happened to Scottie Pippen. You know, when Michael Jordan retired for about a year and a half, while obviously as fans we wanted him to play, it was great for Scottie Pippen. He got to be the leader of the team. He got better because of it.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing happened with Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook was an MVP candidate. Right. He had a phenomenal season.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's a better player for it. Obviously, they fired their coach, so they're gambling on the coach they hired does have pro experience, but he's not a seasoned pro coach, so they're gambling on the new coach. You know, they got a lot of talent. You definitely can't count them out.
Right. So I'm thinking they're going to be one of those teams too. They might, especially if they take off, have a good start to the season. They'll need, I think, especially if they play some of these other teams that we mentioned, play them in the playoffs, they'll want to have, you know, home court advantage, which they can get. I mean, right a few years ago, this team had even beaten the Spurs and played the Heat in the finals. So these guys can definitely go very far and contend for a title. But, you know, I think they've, year after year, something has happened either where they weren't able to win it or they weren't able to get back to the finals. And it might be, I think some people are speculating that they can't do it this year, or at least if they don't end it on a semi-positive note. It doesn't have to mean a championship.
Yeah.
It can mean you made it to the Western Conference Finals and you almost won. You're like one piece away. But if something like that doesn't happen, that maybe, you know, one of those two superstars or both are going to leave and go somewhere else. So we'll see.
And, you know, these owners always want the glamorous, the romantic coach. I never understand why they just don't go after the tried and true coaches. I mean, I always say Mark Jackson, but there's Avery Johnson. There's a great list of great coaches in the NBA who are, you know, not being hired. And, you know, especially with a team like the Thunder, their window of opportunity to win a championship is in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
I would not take that gamble. So I guess, you know, these owners are more gambling men than I am, because I definitely would go with the tried and true coach. Same with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They have all this talent. Their window of opportunity is in the next, you know, 3 years. So David Blatt did a good job. He did a good job. He's put in a tough situation. He didn't know the NBA game. But why take that gamble? I don't understand that. Hire Mark Jackson. Hire an NBA vet who knows the game. A lot of these NBA coaches don't always have the best record just because they're not in the best situation. It doesn't matter if you're Phil Jackson. You know, if you're coaching the Orlando Magic, you're not going to be a good team. The NBA is about stars, and a lot of these teams, it doesn't matter who the coach is, they're just not going to be a great team. So, you know, the track record of some of these coaches can be deceiving. So, you know, personally, if I was the Cavs or if I was the Thunder, I would be going after a Mark Jackson. I would be going after somebody who knows the NBA game, because your window of opportunity is right now, so why take the gamble?
You know, I was pretty surprised to hear the Thunder fired their coach. I thought, you know, it definitely wasn't his fault what happened last year. They just had a lot of injuries. So I agree, sometimes it's definitely not the coach's fault. But it should definitely be a pretty interesting season.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we could also talk about the Knicks. They had a pretty rough off season. But, you know, we'll see. I guess we should give Phil Jackson a little bit more time. But I think a lot of New York fans are not happy. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about this, you know, like Carmelo Anthony is definitely, you know, in a tough spot. And maybe he shouldn't have taken the money. Maybe he should have left somewhere else. But maybe, I don't know what they told them. Maybe they said, hey, we're going to try to bring in new guys and kind of revamp. But the Knicks definitely don't look like they're going to be contending anytime soon. And he's been getting close to being at the end of his prime. You know, he he's definitely not, you know, as good as, you know, LeBron, or he was one of those guys who started in the same time, and Dwayne Wade, LeBron, all these guys now have titles, and he doesn't. So what was the farthest that Carmelo Anthony has ever been? I think the second round. I know.
Yeah, it's not far. Probably with the Nuggets, I would guess.
Yeah, with the Nuggets. I know that they were knocked out by the Lakers at least once from the second round back when he had Iverson. Yeah, he's definitely in a tough spot. I don't see them doing well anytime soon.
George Karl has made some comments, very brief comments about Carmelo Anthony. But the basic gist was, you know, he's not the easiest player to coach. I think Carmelo Anthony at this point in his career is all in and pretty much, you know, will do anything to win. You know, the Knicks were actually better with Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about how much better Carmelo Anthony is than Amari Stoudemire. They had more success with Amari Stoudemire.
Yep.
He might not have the repertoire of skills that Carmelo Anthony has, but he's very good at what he does and he plays great in their offense. And the positive for the Knicks is that they got Robin Lopez, so that helps.
Yep.
They didn't get the best draft pick. They went with Kristaps Porzingis, who Phil Jackson picked and got criticized for.
Yeah.
I never rely on a draft as far as trying to make a team better right now, because you never know. You know, Ron Artest and Tyson Chandler started out as Chicago Bulls. They weren't good. They moved to other teams, and they eventually became good players.
Right.
So he could be a good player in 5 years, which is not going to help Carmelo Anthony.
Tommy Brown.
Right? But yeah, you know, in all honesty, they might just be better not having a star, going with more of a team philosophy like the Denver Nuggets had, you know, and then make it to the playoffs. I don't know.
Yeah.
Under the George Karl era, though, after they lost Carmelo Anthony,
they did get better.
They got better, actually.
Yeah, which is pretty sad for Carmelo. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be a lot of fun, I think. I'm looking forward to this upcoming season.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an exciting season. Obviously, injuries always play a part in the NBA. We saw how much they affected the Cavaliers, who I thought did amazing considering losing your second and third best player. Possibly could have stopped the Spurs playoff run as well. There's one last topic to talk about, which I thought I just could not talk about this. I'm a huge Scottie Pippen fan. Scottie Pippen is my favorite basketball player. I love Michael Jordan. I love Scottie Pippen. The Bulls has always been, you know, my team. And even though, you know, I'm a Cavs fan, but like my all-time favorite team is that 90s Chicago Bulls team. And Scottie Pippen is just a guy. He's a phenomenal basketball player. He's an all-around player. He can play numerous positions. It's really hard to win the Defensive Player of the Year when you're not a center. But, you know, he's a phenomenal defensive player. He's a guy. He might be the best defender against Michael Jordan, you know, who we never saw actually defend him. So that's my take on Scottie Pippen. But anyway, in the social media, Shaq and Scottie Pippen have a feud going on. Shaq said that he thinks the top five all-time Lakers will beat the top five Bulls. Scottie Pippen obviously, you know, disagreed with that. So
obviously, you know, they were talking about the best, you know, players for the Lakers versus the best players for the Chicago. Even if it was like the 90s team versus all-time best Chicago teams. I think definitely Shaq was right there. I mean, obviously Michael Jordan is the best single player ever, but when you talk about the Lakers, they do have, aside from Michael Jordan, they have all the other best players pretty much, right? I mean, if you think about it, even if you had the best players in Chicago, you'd have what, Derrick Rose, you'd have obviously Michael and Pippen, but you know, Dennis Rodman, and who were some other greats for the Bulls.
I mean, they don't really have a great center. You might go with Bill Cartwright or Lou Longi, possibly.
But look at who the Lakers starting five would be, right? It would be Shaq, Kareem, Magic, Kobe, and there's no way that the Bulls, I mean, I understand that, sure, Jordan would definitely like the challenge and he would have amazing games, but he would be playing against Kobe. And I'm a Lakers fan and I agree that Michael, who definitely beat Kobe, went to a 7-game series 5 out of 7 times. But, you know, Kobe is also very similar to Michael, and Michael has said this, that they have a very similar approach to the game. Michael would definitely beat Kobe most of the times, but Kobe would play pretty darn hard. It's not like he would annihilate Kobe every single time. So that would weaken the Bulls a lot. And then, of course, just that Magic Johnson, Shaq, and Kareem would just destroy the rest of the Bulls. I mean, Derrick Rose is great, but I'm talking about Magic Johnson here.
Obviously, the Lakers have had the three of the four best centers of all time.
Right.
Will Chamberlain.
And they didn't even have him on there.
Yeah, Will Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaq. Some of the best wingmen, Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, Jerry West, Elgin
Baylor.
They
didn't even put Jerry West on the team.
I mean, there's so many good players, they're not even putting them in this top five.
At least I don't think they were.
Which is arguable to begin with because there's so much talent. I thought, the way I felt about the whole situation was, I thought it was very funny that Shaq didn't say, Shaq had to go the route of all time. Which is ridiculous considering the Lakers have had like half, if not more, of the best players in NBA history, like top 10 wise.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm not saying they couldn't beat him, but he doesn't say the 2000s Lakers versus the 90s Bulls, which would have been fair because, I don't know, I just think that's sort of ridiculous. Yeah. But I side with Scottie Pippen just because he's my favorite player, and I think that Shaq, you know, if he really wanted to make a fair comparison, he would have said 2000 Lakers versus 90s Bulls, which he didn't. I also thought it was... I'm actually a huge Shaq fan. When Michael Jordan retired, Shaq was the player I followed. I was a big fan of the Miami Heat, the Phoenix Suns, the Boston Celtics, and the Cleveland Cavaliers because I basically rooted for whatever team Shaq was on. But, you know, he's really taken this too far. Instead of just letting it rest, he's making, you know, 2 or 3 more posts. He's putting Scottie Pippen under the rug and really disrespecting him. I don't know why he feels it's necessary to do that. Scottie Pippen's a great player. Michael Jordan would have not won those championships without him.
Right.
They beat the Orlando Magic in the playoffs.
Sure.
You know, I feel like Shaq's taking it too far.
Yeah.
I feel like... you know, obviously the all-time Lakers would beat the all-time Chicago Bulls just because they're just too deadly.
Yeah, there's just too many, so many great players. I mean, there's, those 90s Bulls were some of the best teams ever, but, you know, the Lakers have been to the finals, what, 31 times. So when you've made it that many times, obviously you'll have so many other great players. I think why, having that type of a conversation. But yeah, those 90s Bulls team probably would be interesting to see them match up with those, you know, the 2000 Lakers where they went to the finals 4 times and won 3 in a row. Those teams were pretty darn good. I mean, I think the Lakers really, the only team that kind of during that 3-year run that gave them any type of a threat were the Sacramento Kings. But other than that, I don't think that they would beat the Bulls. At least in that second three-peat, I think that's when they were the better of the 2 three-peats. But it would be interesting to see that. But, it was just a fun little thing.
I felt like it was fun. Maybe Scottie Pippen was wrong. Shaq just took it too far.
I think so, too.
It went from a playful conversation to making it personal.
Sure.
You know, people can say all they want about Scottie Pippen. Obviously, Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time. Scottie Pippen contributed to that team. He made Michael Jordan better.
Sure.
They battled in practice. I respect Scottie Pippen tremendously. His philosophy was, you know, I'm going to battle Michael Jordan every single day. You know, and to be a player of his talent and to take a back seat to Michael Jordan is very impressive. A lot of players, their ego is too big to do that. So, you know, it was a fun thing. Shaq took it way too far. I don't think he'll do this, but it would be nice if he actually apologized to Scottie Pippen. But yeah, I mean, you look at the Lakers, they would only start 2 of their 3 best centers.
Right.
So you're going to lose that matchup. There's nobody that's going to match up against Will Chamberlain or Shaq or, you know, Kareem and Chamberlain or whoever.
Right.
Michael Jordan's going to have his hands full with Kobe. He might win the matchup, but
a lot of it's going to be canceled out because you know that Kobe would be pretty darn ready to take him off. And we've seen them play when Kobe's early years, and he had some pretty good games against Michael.
Yeah. I mean, Magic Johnson, top 10 player of all time. Most people would definitely put him on that list.
And some people even say he's the best.
Yeah.
But, you know, not as many, obviously, as Michael. But
he's going to win that matchup against Scotty. And then Dennis Rodman, one of the best defensive players of all time, arguably the best rebounder of all time, but he's not a great offensive player.
Right.
And then, you know, Derrick Rose is a great player, but there's a lot of great players. You know, I'm not sure, you know, Jerry West, if he would play, he's one of the all-time greats. Elgin Baylor, Worthy.
Yeah, so, right, yeah, just come on. Right, it's not going to happen. Now, the only thing, I guess, that you could dispute, like Shaq said, they beat him by 50.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but, you know, maybe one game, but I don't even think that. I don't, you know, it's like, come on.
Yeah, that's the one thing I would also disagree with.
Maybe beat like a team on average of 50 if it was like the Charlotte Bobcats' greatest
right?
ever. Then sure, you'd beat them by 50, but
because they have the 90s Bulls had pretty much mastered that triangle offense, and they had a lot of players that nobody wanted. That offense was just so, even the Lakers in the 2000s, you know, some of their bench players might have not been what other teams would have had a huge desire to get, but that triangle offense that they mastered, you know, made those players hide their weaknesses and propel their strengths. So it would be fun. All right, so that was our summer update. Please like and subscribe.
We'll be back in a few weeks.
Yeah. Peace out. Go Cavs.